America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day, another great week, in fact, in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Certainly a great week, at least at its beginning, for Republicans in the U.S. Senate. Two of the biggest question marks that were standing in the way of the Republican effort to take over the U.S. Senate. Remember, all it needs, all it requires, is defending incumbent Republican senators at the same time that you win one Senate seat, one, from the Democrats. Well, one of the things that had been holding this up had been two incumbents, both of whom have a good chance of winning, one of whom is a sure thing to win. Both saying now they have thought about it. Yes, they were considering retirement. But both Senator John Thune, who is the number two man in the Senate for the Republicans, right after Mitch McConnell. In fact, he is reputed to be the very likely successor to Mitch McConnell when and if Mitch wants to step down at any time. John Thune is running for re-election. And that's a very good thing because he's one of the more effective U.S. senators, one of the more popular. President Trump had wanted to challenge him in a primary. He had urged Kristi Noem, who is the governor of South Dakota, which is a state that John Thune has represented in Congress for more than 20 years. And no, he's running for re-election. He will not have any significant primary challenge. And last time, when he was up for re-election 6 years ago, he got 72% of the vote. Well, that's pretty solid. And that looks very good. There is also more about Ron Johnson. He even wrote in the Wall Street Journal, he is abandoning a one-time pledge that after being elected to a second term, he would retire. He thinks it's too dire a moment for the country for him to do that, so he is running for re-election. And that is a positive thing. The entire question about what happens with the Biden agenda and the entire buy back better, build back better, the entire agenda that he is trying to put forward, that is very, very much in question. And it's one of those things that is going to help to shape and determine this crucial election coming up in November of 2022. Also, COVID politics is going to shape that that election. And this is fascinating because just in the last couple of weeks, some of the impact of COVID politics has shifted. I still believe that anyone who was involved with anti-vaxxing, with vaccine denial, first of all, they're dropping like flies. There are, I'm not kidding, there are 15 different stories of anti-vaxxers around the world, not Novak Djokovic, but that's another pathetic story. But people who are opposed to vaccines, this is not a popular political movement. If you want to win popularity with people, there's an aspect to COVID politics which is working for Republicans. And it's clearly working for Republicans. It involves school closures because parents don't want their schools closed anymore. It is a positive thing for Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, to be standing up against the teachers' unions. It's a positive thing for Republicans in the House and in the Senate to be standing up against teachers' unions and at least giving parents the option of sending their kids to school. And this is a basic item. There's a piece in a very powerful piece, actually, beautifully written, a piece in The Atlantic about somebody writing, her name is Angie Schmidt, why I soured on the Democrats. And to cut you to the chase, until recently, I was a loyal left-leaning Democrat, and I had been my entire adult life. I was the kind of partisan who registered voters before midterm elections and went to protests. I hated Donald Trump so much that I struggled to be civil to relatives on the other side of the aisle. but because of what my family has gone through during the pandemic, I can't muster the same enthusiasm. I feel adrift from my tribe and to a certain degree disgusted with both parties. Well, she's talking about the Democrats and shutdown politics. She has little kids. Her family needs her income. And she has gone through all kinds of problems trying to find a charter school that would be remaining open. This is one of those areas where I do think people are going to vote on this issue. I hope they don't vote against Republicans because of any association with some of the craziness on the Republican side, or at least on the anti-vax side. There should be no association with that. First of all, before we get any further, there's a statement from Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin. He was elected in the Tea Party wave. He was one of the most highly touted Tea Party senators elected to that class of 2010, which brought a lot of outstanding people to Washington, D.C. And Senator Johnson pledged to serve when he was reelected in 2016. And when he was reelected in Wisconsin, he was expected to lose. Everyone was sure he would lose. And he ran 75,000 votes ahead of Trump. Trump barely carried Wisconsin. Ron Johnson actually did pretty well winning reelection. And here's what he said about that pledge that he made in 2016.
I love America dearly. I love the American people. I love the folks in Wisconsin. And I think this country's in trouble. I think Democrats in power in Washington have put us on a very dangerous path. And I think I'm in a position to help improve things. It really just boils down. It's that simple. We need to restore confidence in so many institutions throughout America, whether it's in governmental agencies, whether it's in our media, within big tech. People have lost confidence. And the only way I can see restoring confidence is we need to ask a lot of questions. We need to get some answers. We need accountability. We need the truth.
Okay. We do need the truth. But some of the truth is not always exactly a partisan matter. There is some truth in social media. Meghan McCain, formerly of The View, put up this tweet of the day that we're going to be getting to in a few moments. We're also going to be speaking to Heather McDonald, who has a terrific piece about insurrection and double standards. Was that an insurrection that we were commemorating recently? If that was an insurrection, why weren't all of the riots that went all across the country in May and June and July of 2020 an insurrection? Certainly seemed a lot more organized than anything that happened on January 1st. And why is the left suddenly talking about a civil war? What is the argument basically that they are making? What is to be gained from it by having all of this organized conversation now talking about we're already in a civil war, we're about to start a civil war? Is that the way you explain away the rise in crime, which is another one of those political issues that is going to play a very real role in the way that people vote coming up in September? We are going to be talking about that as well, and much more. A last stand for anti-vaxxers. And what is the point exactly? What are people giving their lives for? We will get to that and more coming up on The MedVed Show. 1-800-955-1776.
More of Michael MedVed in a moment.
Join in your daily dose of debate.
I'm a conservative radio nut, but you are the host I probably disagree with the most, but one of the best that I love to listen to because you let other people have an argument with
me. The Michael Medved Show.
And if you want to be one of those other people who has an argument, we had a bunch of very stimulating calls that came last week during that anniversary of January 6th. If you want to call about any of the matters under discussion, which are basically all the matters that are important in this country, you can give us a call, 1-800-955-1776. And chances are we'll be able to get to you. I'm not sure how anybody gets to a guy who is the leader of what's called the vaccine police. He's an anti-COVID vaxxer named Christopher Key, who has a new conspiracy theory for his anti-vax followers, as reported in Daily Beast. And the theory involves curing themselves of COVID-19 by drinking their own urine. Now, really? Well, apparently so. He posted, Christopher Key, a video which sounded like this. This is clip 9.
The antidote that we've seen now, and we have tons and tons of research, is urine therapy. Okay? And I know to a lot of you this sounds crazy, but guys, God's given us everything we need, okay? And I'm going to give you, again, I test and prove all things, okay? This has been around for centuries. We've got research after research, documented, peer-reviewed, published papers on urine. We do. We have this.
Okay, I suggested something that we can all learn from here, which is if you're about to say, I know this sounds crazy, or I know this sounds bonkers, then what you're about to say probably is crazy and bonkers. This occurred to me because we had that case last week of this guy, Dave Bateman, who is a high-tech billionaire, or almost billionaire. He was worth like $700-800 million. And he was a CEO and founder of a big company called Entrata, which was a company based in Utah. He now lives in Puerto Rico. He sent out his own vaccine explanation where he believed it was a Jewish conspiracy, featuring that very well-known Jewish pope, Francis. And by the way, I'm teasing. He is not a Jewish pope, but this guy thinks he is.
A lot and, of you, this sounds crazy.
Right. Okay. If somebody says this sounds crazy, like the Nazi assistant, former assistant police chief in Kent, Washington, who put up SS insignias on his doorway and made jokes about the Holocaust. And if something sounds crazy, like the drinking your own urine is going to cure your COVID-19, it's crazy.
Call me crazy.
I resist the temptation. This has been around for centuries, he said in his tape, as you just heard. When I tell you this, please take it with a grain of salt, the anti-vaccine advocate warned while saying people might now think he is cray-cray. Now, drink urine, he continued. This vaccine is the worst bioweapon I have ever seen, he concluded. I drink my own urine. Reach for comment by the Daily Beast on Sunday night, last night. Key doubled down on what he calls urine therapy and railed against foolish people who took the COVID-19 vaccine, which is safe and effective. Well, drink up. I mean, where are we here with this anti-vax movement where you're going to be scared away from taking a vaccine that has been used literally billions of times now. There are literally billions of injections that have been safely given, and the vaccines work. They do. And regardless of what Kyrie Irving or Aaron Rodgers or Novak Djokovic in Australia, and they're having riots in Australia about whether he should play. You know, do I care whether he plays in the Australian Open? No, but I do think it's ironic that you have people who are blessed with incredible good health and strength and athletic skill, and like this Serbian tennis player, and yet will disregard the great weight of medical opinion. By the way, the latest on the anti-vax front, well, as I mentioned, there are a lot of prominent people and anti-vaxxers. There was an anti-vaxxer who was part of the America Reawakening Tour, which features Roger Stone and Mike Flynn. I mean, two people pardoned by Trump, basically. And, okay, Roger Stone and Mike Flynn, there was another prominent anti-vaxxer who was appearing with them in Dallas in part of the America Reawakening Tour. And he wasn't feeling so well, and he suffered in the hospital for 10 days. He died. This is going on. And Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, who is as close to former President Trump as anybody, and but here is what he had to say about the anti-vaccine campaigns that he's encountering in the United Kingdom. This is clip 8.
Anti-vax campaigners, the people who are putting this this mumbo jumbo on social media, they are completely wrong. And you haven't heard me say that before, because I think it's important that I want a voluntary approach in this country, and we're going to keep a voluntary approach. I believe in doing things through everybody working together and seeing the vital importance of vaccination. And we've got much higher rates of vaccination in this country thanks to that community-led voluntary approach. That's a wonderful thing. Other European countries are going for coercion. But what a tragedy that we've got all this pressure on the NHS, all the difficulties that our doctors and nurses are experiencing. And you've got people out there spouting complete nonsense about a vaccination. They are totally wrong.
Okay, more. Is there some kind of mystery about Bob Saget's death? He seemed like a good guy, talented guy, and suddenly dead at the age of 65. What's going on? We'll get to that and to more coming up on the MedVet Show. Michael Medved Show. They're in the middle of a very heated presidential campaign. Well, actually, not the middle, toward the beginning. I think the vote for the first round is in April, and then they have assuming nobody gets more than 50%, then they have a runoff between the two top vote getters. And it's wild. There are a lot of interesting people, many of them on the right, many of them people who are conservative to radical right in France. Certainly, Emmanuel Macron is a moderate conservative, I think you could say, or somebody who is a moderate. But the president of France right now, who is running for re-election, Macron pledged that his immediate goal is going to be to infuriate, I think is the polite word. But apparently he was using a term that is the French equivalent, and I'm not sure what it is, of piss off. Macron pledges to piss off France's unvaccinated by tightening restrictions amid Omicron surge. Okay. He says, I am not for pissing off the French. However, the unvaccinated, I really want to piss them off, said the president in an interview published last week in the French newspaper Le Parisien. The president said, I'm not going to throw the unvaccinated in prison. I'm not going to get them vaccinated by force. He said, we put pressure on the unvaccinated by limiting their access to social activities as much as possible, which is basically the whole idea of vaccine mandates here. And it's not just social pressure. It's economic pressure, obviously. James in Linwood, Washington, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Thank you, Michael. I've enjoyed your show for many, many years since you first started talking on a different station.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, I'm one of the guys that you hung up on last week, and you said I was bad for the country and bad for me. I disagree. I believe you're part of the corrupt media that has changed the language and calls this failed therapy a vaccine. If we go back to 2 years ago, the definition of a vaccine was something that would prevent transmission and prevent infection, at least largely. This does neither. And this vaccine is so dangerous.
Okay, James, how do you know that this does not? No vaccine is 100% effective. They can be largely effective. And according to all of the indications of people measuring the impact of the vaccine, this one is. And again, first of all, they were able to develop this remarkably quickly. Why do you think it is that literally around the world, I mean, we're talking about Britain and France, that in every country, they want vaccines, they use vaccines, the majority of people are getting vaccinated, and it's working. Why do you know better?
It's not working. It's clearly not working. If you look at the level of infection, that belies your point. Secondly, it is not a vaccine.
And no, it's because it's a different variant, but go ahead. Okay, you keep saying it's not a vaccine. Why is that terminology so important to you? What is it if it's not a vaccine?
Therapy. You claim it will prevent death and hospitalization. That is false.
No,
well,
I do not claim anything. What I have been very careful to say, and what responsible people have been very careful to say, including all of our authorities and the CDC and everybody else, is that it reduces the risk. It doesn't prevent. I mean, flu shots don't prevent. Flu shots are, in fact, flu shots are, they inform you right at the beginning that you may reduce the risk 50%, sometimes maybe more if it's very effective. But it's not an absolute protection. So why should that mean that you don't want to get as much protection as you possibly can?
Because it doesn't protect. Number one, the spike proteins are poisonous, toxic, to the point where two pilots are not allowed to fly a jet airplane where one of them has,
okay,
where both
do
of
you
them
have
been vaccinated.
Do you have a medical background?
No, but I got a brain. And I pay attention to Dr. Robert Malone. You might have heard of him. He actually invented mRNA.
Okay. He didn't really invent it, and I know about his point of view. And by the way, Dr. Malone is vaccinated, right?
Of course he is. And I am telling you, how much would you like to bet on that little subject, mRNA?
What?
And we could go to the patent office, and I can prove I can win my bet immediately.
Okay, the point is he is vaccinated. In other words, he is not an anti-vaxxer, as you obviously are. What do you say about all of these people? And honestly, there are more than a dozen over the last week who are fairly prominent anti-vaxxers, like Doug Kuzma, and there's a district attorney named Ellen Kelly Earnby in California, who had been very much taking the cause of anti-vaccine. They've all gotten sick recently and died. Is this part of a conspiracy? Just a coincidence?
Control. it's you're part of the elite that is trying to control.
Okay, why? Why do you think that part of this evil elite that you believe that I'm part of, why would I care about other people getting protected against the virus other than the natural and wholesome and patriotic desire?
I can speculate as to why you're spreading false propaganda, but it's a speculation.
Okay, you said this. Now I remember your call. Why do you think that I would be spreading false propaganda?
You really want me to speculate on it? I don't know.
I don't want you to speculate on it because I'm not. I mean, why not? One of the most important gifts that I have gotten from trying to study scripture and traditional biblical sources is the idea of Don Lakav Zechut, is what you say in Hebrew, giving people the benefit of the doubt. Why do you assume that because I disagree with you, I have some kind of malevolent purpose?
I did not call you evil. I said you have a wonderful program.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But let me ask you, why do you think that I am not every bit as sincere as you are? I'm not speculating that you're some agent for SMERSH or some crazy organization. I just think you're deluded, and I feel sorry for you with that regard. Now you.
Well, I feel sorry for you, Michael, because you're ruining your career. I mean, and you're one of the most fantastic radio talents we have, and you have really gone off the deep end, and it's very concerning to me.
Okay, why am I off the deep end if over 60% of adults in this country, well over 60%, are vaccinated and boosted?
Why don't the airlines let two pilots?
Okay, wait. You're not answering my question. Why do you think it is that when the majority of the country is going in a different direction than you, that they have gone off the deep end?
A lot of credibility with me. I find you fantastic. The reason I still listen to your show is you have some of the best guests on the planet. I still admire you, but you have gone off the deep end. I wish you wouldn't have. But
the point is, I don't think it's going off the deep end. I think it's following basic logic. I mean, and again, it's interesting. Can I ask a question, James? And I appreciate the civility of this conversation. Do you also believe that President Trump won the election?
You already know I do.
Okay, what do those two things have in common? What they have in common is they are two things that go against every available bit of evidence. Dr. James in Linwood, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your kind words about my work, despite our disagreements. We will be back to more evidence and some of the latest on the anti-vax movement coming up.
Your daily dose of debate.
Calm down for a minute. Do you understand how irrational you're sounding?
Because I'm not sounding irrational.
You're not. Uh-huh.
No.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show. Just one word to James in Linwood. He had mentioned something I had not heard before, and it's always wonderful to hear things you haven't heard before, even if they're cuckoo. And James, with all due respect, I hope you're listening. What you just said about the pilots and not allowing two pilots who both have been vaccinated to fly in the same cockpit, I know for a fact that's not true. And part of the reason I know that is because one of our very best friends in the world, and honestly, someone who's as close as family to us, Kim Weinstein. I shouldn't have said the name, but I just did. And a very close friend of the family. She is a lady pilot for United Airlines, veteran pilot, flies some of the most desirable routes, and she's flown for the airline for a long time. I know for a fact that airline has an extremely tight vaccine mandate. In fact, during the break here, I just looked it up. And the CEO of United Airlines, Scott Kirby, revealed that just six of its 13,000-strong pilot group did not get the vaccine, and they were fired by the company. In a Senate Commerce Committee hearing, Kirby said about 200 employees were terminated because they failed to get the COVID-19 vaccine, six of which were pilots, reported Reuters. Moreover, 80 pilots who received a medical or religious exemption weren't fired, but they were put on unpaid leave. The firings represent less than 1% of the company's 67,000 employee workforce, with most employees choosing to get the shot. This is before the September 27th deadline. Now, given the fact that the only pilots who chose not to get the shot were fired or put on unpaid leave, I believe it's extremely unlikely that there is any policy that it says that of these pilots who are vaccinated, which is 99.99% of everybody, that you can't have them flying together in the same plane. It's nonsense. And the other thing that we were talking about at the end, and it just troubles me because, again, what is it that these two items have in common? Why would it be that such a heavy percentage of people who are anti-vaxxers, who are just very, very reluctant to get the vaccine, would also believe that secretly and somehow against all coverage and all evidence, Trump won the election. He actually won the election. And part of what I was thinking about also, because I was looking up the electoral record of Ron Johnson, is that people who believe, for instance, that, well, how could Trump have possibly lost when he had done so well in these places before? He actually didn't. If you look at all of the key states that were swing states that decided the election, the three states that won him the election in 2016 were Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, those three. That gave him his electoral vote margin. And in all of those states, his percentage of the vote went down in 2020. His percentage of the vote went down all across the country by a lot in 2020. And you know why? Because one of the things that was a factor in 2016 that people you just have to look it up. And unless you believe that somehow 2016 was also a fraudulent election, the whole thing is fraudulent, President Trump got about 2% less percentage of the popular vote in 2020 than he did in 2016. A lot of people who didn't vote for, even though more people showed up to vote. And the question of the reduced percentage, you know, part of what it was something I've talked to you about a lot. It was that great unheralded factor in getting Trump elected in the first place, which was third-party candidates. It was Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, and who took votes away from Hillary. And it was also the Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. And what you had was instead of a total of 2% of third-party voters, which is what you had this last time, you had 6%, which changes everything. But the point being that if you actually look at the votes that were counted for President Trump, he got more votes in terms of raw vote totals, but a smaller percentage. This was a higher turnout. And there were people in all of those key swing states, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, there were fewer votes out there for President Trump. So, again, this whole idea that there was just a handful of votes that changed things, you're talking about a belief that literally millions of votes, not just a few, were somehow shifted unfairly. And here's my other question for folks. For people who believe very much in anti-vaxxing, okay, let's go to Dave in Seattle. Dave, you're on the Medved Show.
Hey, Michael. What sort of frustrates me with what you've done the past year is I think you've lied to your audience, and I think knowingly, about some
about
of the,
what?
Well, for one thing, when Joe Rogan took ivermectin, you said he took horse paste, which is a complete lie, and you know it.
No, I did. First of all, I used the term ivermectin. I identified it. And the point is, I don't claim to be an expert on ivermectin. And do I believe that it's actually dangerous for people? Well, there are a lot of people who say that it is. There are reasons to be concerned about it. But the fact that, first of all, Joe Rogan said he took a whole bunch of stuff, right? Didn't he? Is that what he said?
He did, but you weren't mocking him for that. His doctor prescribed it. You went to a doctor to fight your cancer. Would you want Joe Rogan to make fun of you and your doctor's decisions? Well, do you?
But did he identify the doctor who urged him to take ivermectin? I do understand that there are some people in the medical field, doctors and nurses, who will recommend it. But, of course, not as an alternative to vaccines. Because ivermectin is not supposed to help prevent you getting sick. It's supposed to make it less serious for you when you do. Isn't that the idea?
It was a therapeutic. But no, you were making fun of him.
Okay, and part of it was, I have here right on my screen right now, there's a picture of ivermectin, the way it is sold. It has a picture of a horse on it, and it says paste 1.87% Durvet it has on it, and this is the way the horse is on the box, for goodness sake. Why is it not appropriate to make fun of someone who is urging other people to use a so-called medical cure that is not certified or urged or endorsed by any reputable medical organization? Just isn't.
Michael, penicillin is used for both animals and for humans. Do you call penicillin a horse?
No, because the entire medical community for 100 years has been recommending penicillin. And because it works. And the idea that ivermectin, again, you want to use it, you want to drink urine, fine, good luck. But the idea is, why is it that people who, why do you, as someone, you don't believe in the vaccines, am I right?
No, I'm double vaxxed. I'll probably get boosted sometimes here in a week or two.
Okay, well, good. That's good. So, again, why would you feel called upon to try to push these alternatives? By the way, good luck with the boosting and good luck with being vaxxed. See, this is one thing I really don't understand. If you understand the vaccine is good for you, why would you oppose the idea? And by the way, the American Medical Association has a whole thing you can access, why ivermectin should not be used to prevent or treat COVID. Trust doctors in this greatest nation on God's green earth.